Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for what we're about to hear, your word, scripture upon scripture. We ask you to anoint and bless not only our teaching of the word tonight, but our ability to receive it. And Lord, after that, to rejoice in it, to be transformed people because of it. So Father, as we march through the word tonight and then worship and then communion and devotion and rededication of ourselves by these acts of worship tonight, we remember you, Lord Jesus. We remember you, Father, for sending us your Son. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for opening our eyes to the salvation that's in Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. It is because of the cross that Jesus had an appointment with the law. Being the Word of God, he spoke with authority that none had before. The word was given to Moses on Mount Sinai originally in the shape and the form of the law that we know, the law of Moses. And then that, of course, was just a shadow of things to come. And when Jesus came and preached to the multitudes, it was right then and there on the Mount of the Beatitudes that the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 that he went up on a mountain, he sat down, he opened his mouth, and he started teaching them. And almost everything he taught them in that amazing sermon was completely different than what they were used to hear or do when it comes to the law. Ever since men received the law, he realized he absolutely cannot fulfill it. There was no way. The law, by the way, was never meant to be fulfilled by man. Ever since Genesis chapter 3, it was evident that man's heart is very deceitful, that there is sin, and that there is absolutely no way that he can reach the standards of God. So you're probably asking, why is it that the law was given? It was a picture of the helplessness of man to save himself by himself. And Jesus, throughout that Sermon on the Mount, basically elevated the law to where the law really is. Holy. Perfect. It is the Word of God. And the Bible says in Matthew 5:17, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. He is the only person who could fulfill the law. The thing is that the law required blood, sacrifice, for those sins. And so at the cross, and because of the cross, he had an appointment with the law. And in Psalm 40, in verses 6 through 8, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, my ears you have opened, burn offerings and sin offerings you did not require. And then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. He is the one who came to fulfill the law. He was the one that the law was all about. He is the one, the only person who could come in the shape of a human being, yet without sin. At the cross, and because of the cross, Jesus, of course, made it very clear that there is no other way. He asked his Father at the Garden of Gethsemane, if there is any other way, pass that cup from me. It's amazing how in the Jewish Passover, that same night, the Good Friday of 2,000 years ago, they took four cups. They were supposed to take four cups of wine, but they skipped the second cup, the cup of judgment, because he was supposed to take it all by himself. And so at the cross, and because of the cross, Jesus basically made it clear what Isaiah said in chapter 52, verse 2. Your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you. And this is why on the cross he felt that separation. It's amazing because in Romans 3:23-26 it says, for all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God had passed over the Passover. God has passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. And just as the children of Israel, more than 3,500 years ago, were about to leave Egypt, and they were given an instruction to put the blood of that innocent lamb on the two doorposts. Bear in mind, the instruction was not, you must be a Jew, or you must be circumcised, or you must belong to a specific tribe. The requirement was one. The blood has to be on the two doorposts. And the only thing that that angel had to do is to look for the blood. Namely, if any Egyptian family would have heard those instructions and would have applied that blood on their own doorpost, guess what? Judgment would have been passing over them as well. It is the blood. It was the blood. And on the cross, he demonstrated that. In Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The moment we became believers and we received the Holy Spirit, and now we walk in the Spirit, now we also fulfill the law. The Bible says in Jeremiah 31, verse 31, that the days will come and God is going to give to the nation of Israel and to the house of Judah a new testament, a new covenant. And it's not going to be the same as the law that was given them when they came out of Egypt, which they could not fulfill. But this one will be a new thing written on the plates of their hearts. And that's the written law versus the Spirit. The Spirit, it's not written. It's on the plate of our hearts. Colossians 1:22, he is reconciled in the body of his through death to present you holy and blameless. But right because of the cross, Jesus also had an appointment with sacrifice. You understand that the day of Passover, Jesus was the Passover. The Bible says, behold, Christ, our Passover. And it's interesting because In the book of Leviticus, chapter 17, 11, it says that it is the blood that makes atonement to the soul. And of course, in Hebrews chapter 9, 22, it says that without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission. So it was very clear that being the sacrifice, he has to meet those requirements. And the Bible says in Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 18, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then, would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. And therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offering and sacrifices for sin, you have no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. He quotes Psalm 40. To do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. He sacrificed himself. He had an appointment with the sacrifice because of the cross. And he was the ultimate sacrifice. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And from that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Forever, you and I have been perfected. God can no longer look at us as sinners if we have applied the blood of the Lamb upon our hearts. In fact, that amazing, filter is now on the lens through which God is looking at us. And that filter is the blood of the Lamb. And now he cannot see us anymore as sinners, as filthy ones. He's actually looking at us and we are blameless, spotless, and perfect. Wow. It's interesting. If you remember, the Ark of the Covenant had two cherubims on it, and the two cherubims were actually as if it's the eyes of God, and it is looking at the seat of mercy upon which blood was applied or sprinkled. But it is the inside of the Ark that had all the symbols of the sinful nature of Israel. It's the manna because they were complaining. It's the Ten Commandments because of their hearts. And it's the staff of Aaron because of their disbelief. And the moment the people of Beit Shemesh removed the lid, they died. Because the wages of sin is death. But thank God, those eyes are looking only at the blood. And therefore, no one died as long as that lid was on. And it's interesting because the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering of sin. That's it. Once and for all. There is no Jesus but, Jesus plus. He is enough. Amen. And so I will conclude with 1 Peter 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with the corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without a spot. Amen.
The Bible tells us that regarding this night, think about it, Jesus is on the cross according to the scriptures, and he has these appointments that we've been talking about this week. And the third appointment that he had on this Friday in history is the fact that Jesus had an appointment with sin. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, that you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Can you say that tonight? Can you say that you loved God with all of your heart, soul, strength? I cannot. When I look at the first commandment of the scripture, I find out that I'm a sinner. I have not loved God like that in my life. By the time I hear the gospel, I realize I've already sinned. The law was given that I might know that I'm a sinner. The Bible also tells us to redeem us from sin. This Friday in history, John the Baptist in John 1:29 says, for on the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the what? The sin of the world. So right from the very beginning, when the law was given through Moses, the announcement is made that for the very first person, think of it, was Moses himself, to read and to see that you've got to love God with all of your heart. But listen, we are sinners by nature. But the Bible's got an answer for that. And all the way on the other end of the scriptures, Jesus has promised to be on this day in history, the Lamb of God. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, and this is again the great Paul the Apostle speaking, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul added, of whom I am chief. That is, chief of sinners. Jesus was dying on a cross on this day in history because all of us need not only a Savior, we need the Savior. He was dying in our place, so says the scriptures. Now, I love this next consideration. Remember, he had an appointment with sin. How literal is that? You see, what do you mean, Jack, he had an appointment with sin? Jesus was not only going to confront sin. Listen to what the Bible says about that great exchange, that great connection between God and man. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is, have you come to Christ? Have you asked Christ to dwell in you? He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I want to remind you, I'm reading the Bible here. This is good news. Now, all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Amen. That's why Jesus was on the cross. But how does that happen? How does that take place? How can I be reconciled to God, someone might ask. And verse 21 is the answer. For he, that is God the Father, made him, that is Christ Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God, which is in him or through him by faith. Isn't that amazing? How is it that I get to go to heaven? By Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. What was God doing at the cross? He was taking all of mankind's sin and laying it upon the sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Jesus was in the place of the lamb. We talked about that on Wednesday night. He's on the cross. He's being crucified in my place. And God laid on him all of Jack's sins. All of your sins. What an awesome gospel that is. And then the fourth thing that we see regarding this tonight is because of the cross, Jesus had an appointment with death. Now this might be the most comforting for all of us. Jesus had an appointment with death. Listen, we do everything to run away from death. I get that. You love life, and so you should. It was put within us to love life. I saw a man today on the news. Today he's 105 years old. He's the longest living World War II veteran. Maybe you saw him on the news. 105 years of age. He's the oldest guy that has survived World War II. 105 years old. And he said he's very healthy. Well, good for him. But he's not going to live forever. Death visits everyone. But the fact of the matter is that Jesus Christ came because he had an appointment with death. The natural result of sin is death. But Jesus never sinned. So why did he die? Jesus died because my sin was placed upon him. Jesus went to the grave that I wouldn't have to go to the grave. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let me tell you right now, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord if you're a believer tonight. The Bible tells us that if you and I were to die right now, if we believe in Christ, listen, you would not see the consciousness, you would not be aware of, you would not see any darkness, you would not see any grim reaper, you would close your eyes in this world and in the next second open your eyes in the presence of Christ. So says the Bible. Jesus Christ absolutely defeated death. The great plague of the human soul, death. He destroyed it. Jesus Christ destroyed it. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amir just got done talking about the law. The law resurrects sin in our life. And when sin arrives, the awareness of it, we die. The Bible tells us that in 1 Corinthians 15:56, O death, where is your sting? O Hades or hell, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this night's all about in history. Jesus shattered death. I'm grateful. We're all going to be told someday, you're going to die. Not really. We're going to move. Listen, the doctor, he's going to walk in, he's going to tell you, oh, I'm sorry to tell you this, you're going to die. No, wait a minute, doctor, let me tell you this. I'm about ready to move. We're going to move. Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. That where I am, there you may be also. We're going to move, believer. We're going to go to that place that Christ has prepared for us. This is Christianity. This is what Jesus came to give us. The forgiveness of sins. The Bible tells us that in Matthew 27, verse 50, Jesus cried out again from the cross with a loud voice. And the Bible says, listen, the Bible says he yielded his spirit. On this day in history, Jesus was at the cross, and when it was all done, what was? When all the sins of mankind, past, present, and future, were laid upon Christ, the Bible says, and when these things had been fulfilled, Christ then said, it is finished. And he cried out, and he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And the Bible says that Jesus released his spirit. That's awesome. He dismissed his spirit. I'm done. Listen, he didn't stay at the cross 1 second longer than what was necessary to cover, to remove, to pay for your sin debt. As soon as he was done paying the sin debt for you, he says, Father, I'm out of here. Let's go. And Jesus died. The Bible says he breathed his last. And then finally, I want to give you this verse before I give you the instructions for tonight. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, and then I'll go into chapter 9, verse 14. Hebrews 2, 9 says, "For we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels." That's a big disgrace, you know, if you're God, the Son. He was never made an angel. He was made lower than the angels, the Bible says. Jesus, the Bible says, went from being God the Son to the Son of Man, the Son of God. And he took upon skin just like yours. "For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone." Aren't you grateful? And then finally in Hebrews 9:24, the Bible says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God," there's the Trinity if you missed it, "cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. For this reason he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death." Christ had to die. We didn't lose a Savior 21 centuries ago. We gained a Savior tonight. When he died on the cross, he paid the price that you can live a life freed from guilt and shame. Tonight, believer, as we've gathered together tonight, we're going to worship. And here are the rules for this evening. Tonight, we'll dim the lights, and we want you to be thinking about your own sin that was carried on Christ. Your sin. Think about you. Don't think about anybody else. Wives, don't think about your husbands. Husbands, don't think about your wives. Parents, kids, kids, parents. Yourself. Think about yourself. Oh God, we would say tonight, thank you for going to the cross for me, Jesus, for going to the cross for me. You knew all about me before I was ever born. And believer, tonight, we have communion elements here, and in the back, we have 8 locations, I think, throughout the sanctuary tonight. Front, back, sides of the sanctuary. As worship begins, tonight in your act of worship, this is your service to thank God for what he did on the cross for you. That partake of the elements. Get up from your seats. Others will be getting up. You get up, make your way, and pray with your wife or your husband or your kids, or stand alone. Or get on your knees. And partake of communion as you're led. But also this. On that cross, Jesus carried our sin. Why not tonight? Do you see these crosses? They're in the front and they're in the back. Tonight we're going to ask you, and I think you have paper, right? Don't you have paper and pencils or pens in front of you? Don't let anybody look. But write down something that you want nailed to the cross. Could be worry, could be fret, could be a sin, could be an issue. Don't worry, no one's going to read it. Don't put your name on it. God knows. And during communion, you get up, partake of communion in whatever order you'd like. You want to come over and you want to take it and you want to nail it to the cross. Listen, there are real hammers and there's real nails. Now, don't get overly zealous and put yourself on the cross. Somebody may nail you to it, and that's not going to happen tonight. But take your issue and you nail it to this cross tonight. And the cool thing is, it's all going to be collected later and it's all going to be burned. God says, "I will remove your sin from you and I will never remember them anymore." Amen. And tonight, listen, he doesn't need this tonight, but you might need it tonight. You might say tonight, "You know what, that's it. I have a tendency to worry and I'm going to take that sin, because worry is not trusting God, and I'm going to nail it to the cross." Or maybe it's something that you just said, you might just say, "God, you know all about me," and you might want to nail that to the cross. Tonight, your service. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that as we worship you in song and in communion and in devotion, these acts of nailing these issues to our lives will be an act of devotion to you. Father, we pray that you'd move in our midst, and God, may your Holy Spirit be upon us, and Lord, may you preside over this service in every way, shape, and form, and may we worship you now in spirit and in truth. For Jesus Christ, we celebrate this night, having died on the cross on this Friday in history. We thank you for the price that was paid. In Jesus' name. Church, it's awesome to realize that as this day wore on, it was getting late in the day. And Joseph of Arimathea came with a man that up until then we had no clue at all what had become of him in his encounter with Jesus some 3 years earlier. But he came, he showed up. The issues, the drama, the moment, who knows? I can't wait to ask him someday, but I'm going to go up to Nicodemus in heaven. I'm going to ask him, what was the turning point for you? When you came to Jesus by night and you asked him questions, and when he responded to you by saying you must be born again, when did that happen to you? When were you, Nicodemus, born again? Because we see him at the cross on this day in history. The Bible tells us that he and Joseph of Arimathea took down the body of Jesus from the cross and laid him in a nearby tomb that was in a garden, a stone's throw away from the place of the crucifixion. And there they buried him there and rolled the stone. The Roman Empire then, no doubt, following them, making sure the body of Jesus was placed in the tomb. According to Roman law, the tomb was sealed. Leather straps stretched out across that great stone. And then a leather signet bearing the image of the empire. And then a post was set of centurions. And those Roman guards stayed there by order of the empire, to guard the tomb of Jesus, lest anyone steal his body, says the Bible. And so, on this night in history, the disciples went to their places to observe the Passover. And no doubt they wept. They were probably sick to their stomachs beyond imagination. Hearts broken. And then tomorrow, Saturday, there's silence. We know very little, if anything at all, very little about Saturday. The disciples sat, no doubt, in anguish and grief. And early on Sunday morning, their lives are about to change forever. The resurrection of Jesus will take place, and the news will spread to the ends of the earth that the grave has been broken, sin has been forgiven, Christ lives, Satan defeated, mankind set free. All that's left is for man to receive that message of repentance, of forgiveness, of a new life. So, church, as you go out tonight in just about a second or two, go out meditating and thinking upon the great price that was paid that you might start life all over again in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,